Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 129, stanzas 1 through 4. Rejoice, ye people, a homage give. To God with voice of triumph sing. He ruleth in dread majesty, the great, the universal King. 1 through 4 of Psalter 129. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the book of Esther, the fourth chapter, through Esther 5, the second verse. Esther 4, through Esther 5, verse 2. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, and there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai, to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai into the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king, to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, and when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer the Hank and Margaret de Kock family, as well as the extended family, with the passing away of their sister Nell Harmon this afternoon. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-knowing and all-sufficient Lord of the heavens and of the earth, we may gather in this evening round about thy word of truth, and we may acknowledge thee, and that thou givest that we also as thy servant may come once again, if thou wilt give it in this night, to proclaim thy holy word, or to make, if it may be, a little trial of it again. Lord, wilt thou remember and help us this evening? But may thou especially look upon each and every one of us, for it is a day wherein we do commemorate the ascension of thy dear Son, that he may return again to that place from which he had come, or coming in such a deep humiliation, giving himself even unto death for the sake of his church. But there did come a day when he also may be exalted, and he may ascend into heaven and sit at the right hand of God, or one day to come again. Then every eye shall see him, also those that have pierced him. But could it please thee to give us yet a sight of him before the great and notable day will come? For each and every one of us are traveling to our long home, and that calling comes within our community in this day, in this very afternoon, and in the midst of this our congregation also. Remember the husband, remember the children, remember all the relatives, and wilt thou be near to all that mourn? For we cannot miss one another in this life. When thou hast given us one another as a husband and a wife, then it is a bond which exceeds the bonds of blood, and it is a bond which yet will have to be broken in this life. But if now we may receive a little lesson, a little instruction from all thy dealings in the midst of us as families, in the midst of us as congregations, or when we may receive a little instruction and that all these things are passing away. But now to receive that relation to him that is sitting upon that throne. Oh, when we also may know such a relation as we hope to hear if thou will give it in this evening, then it shall be well, not only for this life, but it shall be well for a great and ever-ending eternity. Remember then those that mourn, but do teach us these lessons in our life, that our lives here below may not be unprofitable, that thy callings may not go unheeded. And wilt thou look upon each and every one in the midst of us? For there are many needs and cares. There are those that are not able to gather with us. For the weaknesses of the body, wilt thou supply for them, and all that listen by church telephone also in this night. And Lord, when there is no desire, oh, what makes us all to differ? Because of ourselves there is no desire. But Lord, thou canst work it in thy mercy. And we beseech thee to send forth thy Spirit in a rich abundance among us as a congregation, and work mightily in young and old together, from thy throne whereupon thou hast received all power in heaven and in earth. And then thou art stronger than the devil, who is strong to tempt each and every one of us. And we are so weak against him. Or we are, as one of thy servants of old did say, and we are perfect weakness. For we cannot overcome a single temptation. But Lord, thy strength that is made evident in the human weakness. And wilt thou glorify then thyself therein. Look on us then in this night. Give us a little freedom. Give us a little liberty. Help thou us. Stand on our right and on our left. Make it well in the preaching. Make it well in the hearing. Because thou knowest the week wherein we are. It is a week of preparation for the coming Sabbath day. A preparation for thy holy supper. And then each of us are called to turn within ourselves. And to examine our heart and to examine our life. And Lord, we are ignorant fools. We know nothing. We are of yesterday. But wilt thou then instruct and teach us, oh, that we may be given to see the way wherein thou leadest all thy people. And that it may be that in this evening thy children may be able to say yes. Oh, that is now the way. Wherein the Lord has been pleased to lead me. And if it must be that in this evening we have to say, oh, I stand on the outside of these most necessary things to know. Oh, then could it be that we will go home in this evening with a heart that is touched by thee and by thy most mighty hand. And that it may be a powerful word from thee thyself to put thy words in our mouth as thou hast promised, that there may go a people from this place smiting upon their breast. O God, be merciful to me, the sinner, for I am without hope and without God in the world. And that I am outside of that kingdom, whereon Christ sits upon that throne. And then he is to me an enemy and not a friend. And then all things are against me. Oh, Lord, could it please thee so to work amongst young and old, take reasons out of thyself, to look upon us with a favor, We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 194, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. His wide dominion shall extend from sea to utmost sea, and unto earth's remotest bounds his peaceful rule shall be. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 194. Congregation, it is Ascension Day. What was the meaning of the Ascension for the Lord Jesus Christ? That was for him a homecoming. That was for him the crowning upon all his mediatorial labors. That was for him the second step in his exaltation. The third step that he has in his ascension as sat down on the right hand of power. Had he not this power before? Indeed, that is the place from which that he had come. But when the Lord Jesus returned into heaven, then he returned different than that he was before. Why? When the Lord Jesus returned to heaven, then he received a reward. A reward. Children, what was that reward? When the Lord Jesus would do that which his Father had laid upon him, and then his Father did promise unto him an inheritance. An inheritance. Thus he returns different than when he had originally been in heaven. What is the ascension for the church? What does it mean for them? Well, if he has received his church for an inheritance, that means that that church has a relation in heaven. A relation in heaven. Maybe that we also have a relation in heaven, a dear mother, a dear father, a dear grandmother, a dear grandfather. But Christ, he is not a relation among them that serve. But Christ, he is a relation, as it were, among those that rule. That rule. Thus, one of the three persons of that Holy Trinity, and in relation to all the true Church of God. How is that relation? He has a human nature. A human nature. Had that not before? That is new because of his incarnation, human nature. Thus, there is something of the people, even in the highest glory, among those that rule over this whole universe. The relation to that church that is sitting as the supreme ruler. And that is a comfort for God's children. Why? Who is that church? Because they are an oppressed. Because they are an afflicted. Because they are a persecuted church. here below. But they have a relation that is sitting on the right hand of power. Then you understand it cannot but go good for that people. What does it mean to experience Ascension Day? Because we need not only to know the meaning, but we also need to experience these days as a step of grace. That is a great matter. That speaks about the adoption. That speaks about bringing again into the Father heart of God. Oh, how God's children ought to yearn to know something for themselves of that matter. We heard it a little while ago on the day of Easter about Mary Magdalene. And the Lord Jesus said to her, "Go tell my brethren that I ascend unto my Father and to your Father." But that does not mean that Mary could say this for herself. So we heard it. Because to be justified or to receive the adoption of children, they are two distinct matters, as Easter that is distinct from the Ascension. And yet what is now peculiar about the adoption, then you become a child. A child has what, children? A child, you have, as a child, access. To whom? To your Father. To your Father. That is, He is the ruler of your household. And you, as a child, you may go to Him. Thus, without knowing for ourselves the adoption of children, still, every one of those true children of God, the smallest one in grace, they will experience in their life something of what that ascension means. What is that? That is access. Access unto the throne. Unto the throne of grace. And that is now a mark that we wish to consider in this evening, also in preparation for the coming Sabbath day, the Lord's Supper. Our text for this evening can be found in the portion of God's Word that was read to you, Esther 5, verse 2, only this part. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So far, the words of our text. Esther receives access to the king. First, Esther not called for 30 days. Second, Esther ventures to go in unto the king. And third, the king holds out the golden scepter to Esther. Thus, Esther receives access to the king. First, Esther not called by the king for 30 days. Second, Esther ventures to go in unto the king. And third, the king holds out the golden scepter to Esther. Thus we read, "But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days." And who is that? That is Esther. That is the adopted daughter of Mordecai. Not called to come in unto the king for 30 days. You say, how is that possible? Because Esther also has another relation. Esther is the wife of Ahasuerus. And she is not called. What does Esther have to experience? She has to experience the sovereignty of the king. The king gives no account of what he does, even as his wife. The true church that is not a stranger of such dealings of the Lord, for the wicked, for the hypocrite congregation, there is no communion. Even though men will profess a communion, even when men will speak that of the Lord speaking to them, that they may receive this and that of the Lord, it is all pretense. It is not so. And there is often today also a bold, unholy familiarity, a casualness with God by which a man reveals the hypocrisy, because so it is not with a true church of God. That is a boldness that will receive the wrath of the king soon when he says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." For the wicked, there is no communion. But how is that now for God's children? How is it now for the bride of that true church? "But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days." Oh, how quiet that it can be in the life of God's children. There is, and there must be, a difference between the church militant and the church triumphant. Oh, the church triumphant, they are daily, they are hourly, they are moment by moment in that blessed and sweet continual communion with God. But how is it for that church here below? David says, "God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this." There were 20 years for Jacob between Bethel and Peniel. 20 years. Not called to come in unto the king. And what is the cause that the Lord is so quiet? Is that because of sin? Perhaps. But we cannot always draw that line. No, Job, he was afflicted, and his friend said, "You are a hypocrite, because so the Lord deals not with his church." Job says, "No, no." And he was right. No, what does the church have to learn? They have to learn that God is sovereign. He comes when he pleases, and there is no one that can say to him, also his children, "What doest thou?" But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days, 40 years. It was wilderness, wilderness. The Lord, he did not say that to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. No, that young church, they do not know it. But what is it? It is the reality. That is the reality of their life. Not called to come in these 30 days. What days, congregation of strife in the life of Esther, and what days of strife in the life of God's true children. They are days that necessarily belong unto that church militant, because all around Esther, what is happening? Congregation, the enmity of the enemy that is increasing in those days. Haman, he is the enemy of the Jews, and that very enemy of the Jews, he is wearing that king's ring. Or it is true, something has taken place in the life of Esther. There is a new life for her. There is a new relation for Esther. But there is a time in those 30 days that Esther can see nothing of that relation, because the enemy seems to be given the full reign, and everything goes wrong. It goes from bad to worse, and the king is so silent. He says nothing, and he does nothing. It seems like the king, he does not even know. Not called to come in before the king those 30 days, days of strife. And in those days, so quiet. And then the people crying to God, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. Oh, my God, I cry unto thee in the daytime, and thou hearest not. And I cry unto thee in the night season, and I am not silent." Not called. Days of strife. Why? Because the accusations, they are increasing against the people, against Esther, against the Jews. All the accusations that the devil, he is bringing in those days against the true people of the Lord. And the law coming against them, so that they cannot do anything with all the things that they have received in their life. The blessings that the Lord has given, the tokens, that new life. Oh, it is no help for them in those days. They are days of strife. And how was it then? How must it have been then in that heart of Esther? When she is not called to come unto the king, then it is that Esther, she is looking for a cause. Why? Why is the king so quiet? Why do I not receive a place in his presence? And then so many things are going to go through the mind of Esther. But we read something here in chapter 2. We read, Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred. For Mordecai charged her that she should not show it. Children, Esther has a secret. Esther has a secret. And that secret that is withheld from the king. She is a Jewess. She is a Jewess. And you can imagine that in those 30 days, when the king, he is so quiet, and that she is not called, that more and more that Esther is thinking, the king, he has found it out. He has found it out. Oh, that is the reason that I am no longer called to come in before the king. Congregation, God's church, they have so much to learn. And when do they learn the most? You say, when the Lord appears? No. No, they learn the most under the silence of the Lord. Under his silence. Because then they are looking to say why. Why? And then how many times do they not hear? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt find more abominations. Oh, they are times when they have to learn not only my unrighteousnesses, but that my righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags. Not called to come in before the king. Oh, that is a time and that is a way in which the Lord is bringing that people more and more to the end of themselves. All that they have to write a zero upon all the work of their own hands. They have to experience, congregation, that they have sinned themselves outside of that kingdom. That kingdom of God. They need, we have that expression often, children. Do you know what that means? They need to be brought back to paradise. To paradise. What does that mean? To be brought back to paradise. That means that they need to learn that not only have I sinned, but that I am sin. That I am a son of Adam. Or in paradise, heaven was not opened. No, in paradise, hell was opened for the people. Oh, you can imagine that Satan, he is not quiet in those days. And then it seems that not only the law, but that the king himself, he is against them. Because there is no answer. There is no token. We see not our signs. But I have not been called to come in before the king these 30 days. Oh, But what does Paul say? He says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. That is the way it is in the life of that militant church. And then finally he says, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. It was lost. And that is now the place that the Lord is bringing his children. Why? Well, that is the place that we see in our second thought, that Esther, she ventures. She ventures to go in unto the king. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him and of the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. Mordecai, he has only one hope for the people, for the Jewish people. And what is that? That was in him, congregation, that was sitting upon the throne. That was sitting upon the throne. He says, Esther, there is only one who can help now. The devil, he is much stronger than God's children. They don't mock with the devil. No. But there is one who is stronger than the devil. But Esther, she has objections. When Mordecai, he says, go in unto the king, make supplication unto the king, Esther, she has her objections. Why? Because there is a law that is against it. That is against it. She is not allowed to just go in unto the king just like that. And who is Esther? That is the bride. That is the bride. That is the wife of the king. And there is no little obstacle. No, there was a great obstacle. What was the penalty, children? What was the penalty? Death. There is one law, and that is to put him to death. Or what is the Lord instructing his people in this life? They have congregation to do with a holy and a righteous God. In the fall, that access that was cut off. What was there, children? There was an angel. When we had sinned, an angel that is placed at the garden with a flaming sword that was turning every way. No more access. That is the law of the king. That is the penalty for sin. But now that promise, the promise that the Lord has given unto our first parents, to send forth a mediator, or to open that way again, that is now fulfilled. He has come from his glory in a deep humiliation. He is exalted again to sit down at the right hand of power. And indeed, there is a new relation. There is a sovereign ruler that is related to that church here below, that is to give access unto that throne in heaven. But now that people, they do not necessarily know this. That people, they do not always feel this. No, there are those times when they have not been called to come in unto the king for 30 days. Or when there are so many trials, so many tribulations, and so many things coming against that work of grace. No, then they are not able to see this king. They are not able to believe it. They are not able to take hold of it by faith. Mordecai, oh, he can see it so clear for Esther. So clear. Who knows if you have not been called to the kingdom for such a time as this? Oh, he sees it so clear, Esther. Oh, that is the bride of the king. But Esther fears. Not been called. Oh, Esther herself, she cannot see it. When is that union made between Christ and his church? Oh, that is in the new birth. That is in regeneration. There is a new relation. Oh, there is an established people. They may look and they may see the marks in that young church. They may give them so much hope. They may make them sing for joy. And that people themselves, oh, they are so far from singing. They cannot see it and they cannot believe it. Charge her that she should go in unto the king. You don't have to convince a hypocrite congregation to venture upon Christ. You don't have to convince a hypocrite, because he is bold and he is daring. But the Apostle Paul, he speaks about another people. He speaks about a people who have infirmities. He speaks about a people who are afflicted. Oh, he speaks about a people. Oh, they cannot imagine that they could ever be received by that high priest who has entered into that holy place. And now to that people, Paul, he says, oh, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that there we may obtain mercy and receive help in our need. Charge her, that she would go in unto the king. Why? Because he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But you cannot convince that people. Why? Because faith is a gift of God, congregation. But the Lord, he will convince that people. They will not hesitate forever. They will not stay away forever. He will bring them there. How will he bring them there? Or how was it with Esther? Congregation, death pursues Esther. What do we read here? We read that her uncle Mordecai, he says to her, think not with thyself, that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. What is man? By nature, we think we will escape. Or one can pass away, and we say that is her. But it is not me. And so we go to our long home. What is the instruction of the Lord to his people? You shall not escape it. Oh, did the Lord ever instruct you, congregation, in this? And so Esther, she is brought into a great predicament. A great predicament. Why? Because she dare not go. Oh, it is a holy, it is a righteous God. Oh, she dare not go. And yet, she dare not stay away. She cannot go. And yet, she must go. Why? Because not only is there a law that is against her foregoing, but there is death that is pursuing Esther. And now in that great predicament, what does Esther do? Oh, she says to Mordecai, gather all the Jews in Shushan and cover yourself with sackcloth. Oh, fast for me. Fast for me. Pray for me. And I will do the same. Esther. Esther, that beautiful woman that was received by the king for her beauty. And she is going to sit in sackcloth and ashes. All the beauty of man that is taken away by our sin. And the Lord will strip us of it. Esther, she says, go, pray for me, fast for me. And so she says, I will go in unto the king. And what is she going to do there? What is she going to do there? What is her intention? Her intention is, when she comes before the king, that she is going to tell the king everything. Children, she is going to reveal the secret. The secret. Now, what is that secret? She is going to say, King, I'm a Jewess. I belong to that people. She's not going to hide anything anymore. Oh, there is a people. When the Lord will take them back, congregation, to paradise, to show them what they are, then they will not only confess this and that sin, no, but then the Lord is going to bring them to confess their sinful existence. That they say, Lord, I'm a son of Adam. I'm corrupt. From the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Oh, Lord, then I have said I will serve thee. And I cannot serve thee. And I have said I will keep thy law. And I cannot keep thy law. And I run stuck at that first commandment. And I have said that I will cleanse my heart from my sin. But it is a fountain of iniquity. That it is all pollution. And thou art so holy. And thou art so righteous. Oh, then my sinful existence in thy sight, that thou canst not look upon such a one. Oh, to confess it, that is the desire now of Esther. And so that people are made willing to go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. Faith, faith. What does it do? It casts itself. Having come to the end of the law, then it casts itself upon the mercy of the Lord. And it says, if I perish, I perish. Christ, he is the end of the law. The end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That believeth. That is faith. And faith in that moment that says, who can tell? Oh, there is only possibility to gain congregation. Because everything, everything is lost. We read in the Bible, there were four lepers. And they said, oh, there is famine in the city. We die here. Oh, let us fall into the hands of the Syrians. Let us fall there. Or if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Faith. Casting itself into the hands of the Lord. Upon the mercy of that blessed mediator. Saying, if I perish, I perish. And what will be the outcome? Let us sing first. 365. From the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. 1-4 of 365. Our last thought, the king holds out the golden scepter to Esther. Now it came to pass, on the third day, that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. What a contrast. What a contrast. The king, high in his might, in his power, and in his authority, sitting upon his throne. And then, entering timidly in that far side of that room, there is a woman. It is a condemned woman. What a contrast between these two. And congregation, now what a decisive moment has come in that life of Esther. Because the life of Esther that is in this moment hanging in the balance. The life of Esther that is hanging upon the royal will. One word and she can be received. One word, and she can be slain. And what do you read about Esther? She doesn't say one word. Not one word. She has no right to speak. She only stands there where the king can see her. Oh, did you ever go on your knees, congregation, and say not a single word? Not a single word. Because I have no right even to speak, but to go on my knees and now to present myself. To present myself before that holy and that righteous God. No, Esther, she does not speak one word, but she stands and she waits. And she waits. What a decisive moment. What will the king do? We don't know his thoughts. Esther does not know his thoughts. Esther does not know what his emotions are toward her in this time. Oh, there are some moments, they last forever. But we read, and it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. And who can now express what takes place in the heart of that woman? Because, congregation, her heart leaps. She receives in that moment life from the dead. Life from the dead. Is it finished for Esther? No. Is everything taken care of for Esther? No. No. The law that still stands against her. That law is sealed with the king's ring. The curse of that law that is still laid against her. But her heart is leaping. And how is it that her heart leaps? When that law is against me, because she receives the smallest token of the favor of that king, she may come and she may lay before the king all her burden. She receives a place of access, that access that had been cut off for her. Oh, her heart leaps for joy. And it is not the end. And it is not the solution. It is only the beginning. But she receives in that moment hope. Hope. When there was no hope, she receives in that moment expectation. When she had no expectation. Or in that moment, a way is opened for Esther. A way that had been closed because of the law. And so it was. When the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Congregation, what kind of access did that Jewish people have at this time to the king Ahasuerus? None. None. They were condemned. Condemned to death. How is it that the king held out that golden scepter to Esther? Well, the king, he sees Esther standing there. And he recognizes her. He recognizes her. And do you know what that king says? He says, that is my bride. That is my wife. It is Ascension Day. Ascension Day. And now who, congregation, is sitting this day at that right hand of power? It is the bridegroom. It is the bridegroom of the church of God. It is a relation. Oh, from the day of our fall, the law that was set against that people because of sin, that they may not approach unto that holy and that righteous God. Do you ever experience that? Is that so for you too? That you may not approach. There is a people for whom this becomes in their life the greatest burden. Without hope and without God in the world. I have made separation with my maker, with my creator. This is now the way that the Lord is drawing that people. After all their efforts, they come to an end to make satisfaction to that law. to gain access to that king. And when that curse that is remaining, oh, so the Lord is drawing that people. Drawing that people. That they may cast themselves upon that blessed mediator to say, if I perish, I perish. That is now the place that that people may experience what grace is. What grace is. A little word, but it has such a great and such a precious meaning. Oh, what a rejoicing when such a condemned sinner may have just a little inshining of the grace of God. Oh, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. No, everything is not finished for those people in that moment. It is only the beginning, but there a hope, there an expectation is born. Oh, in that moment, when that golden scepter goes forth, oh, when they may experience a little token of the favor of that king. Oh, in that moment, it is actually so sure, so sure. Then they may be given to see a little bit of the riches of Gethsemane, of the riches of Golgotha, and the preciousness, the suitability to my own case. By whom was Pilgrim received at that wicked gate? Goodwill. Goodwill. All that is the experience in the life of the people, in the revelation of his only begotten Son, when that new covenant may be opened to them, and that hope and expectation is born that shall never die. Congregation, there is not one that has ever come as Esther has come to that king, to whom that golden scepter was not extended. Not one from Adam until this day that is put here in the Bible for the instruction and for the comfort of those against whom is the law? Is the law. But if we think to come any other way than that Esther came, then it is an unholy boldness. And we will receive the wrath of that king when he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Sunday, the Lord's Supper. Oh, what do we know? What do we now know of these matters for our own soul? We need to know something. If it was never our grief that we are separated from God, if that has never become our burden, 30 days, not called to come in before that king. Congregation, oh, do not approach. Do not approach unto that table of the Lord. Oh, if we have never known anything of what it means for that law to be against us, to be our condemnation. Oh, do not approach unto the table of the Lord. He is holy. He is a righteous God, and there is a holy table. And if we are a complete stranger, of what that means to fall with Esther, saying, if I perish, I perish, but I will go in unto the king. O congregation, if we are a complete stranger of this, then wait, All we do not see that there is no beginning. That is possible, but it is not yet time. Oh, if we are a complete stranger of what it means for the king to hold out that golden scepter to us. Oh, then wait. We do not see. Then there is no beginning. But we need to know something, of those signs, those symbols, and of whom they are about, in order to remember his death until he comes. Oh, the Lord give you then, to persevere at that throne of grace. But now that king is sitting on that right hand of power, and he knows the heart of each and every one of us. There is nothing that is hidden from him. And if now we are not a stranger, we do not speak of high things. But if we are not a stranger, congregation, of these matters, and that opening, and that hope, be it ever so small, but that new and that living hope, upon that way, that new and that living way, oh, then stay not away. Why? Because he is ascended on high. He is has led captivity captive, and he has received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. Why? That the Lord God might dwell among them. That is what his ascension is about, when he will bring home with him his church. Oh, then they shall receive the desire of their heart, planted in that new birth. Then they shall receive it, and they shall magnify him, and they shall glorify him and his grace to all eternity. Oh, may we be given to experience a little of this, this coming Sabbath. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, that we may so acknowledge thee for thy help in this evening hour to bring us through. Lord, bless thy word and grant in the midst of us a people who are not strangers of these matters, and look on us in the days to come. Satan goes about as a roaring lion, as an angel of light. Oh, the hypocrisy of our hearts is great, but there is also an afflicted people, and they are among us. And Lord, thou knowest their place. Could it please thee to look them up in the days to come, and could it please thee, to bring them. And they are not strangers of thee, but it needs to be made clear by thee. Come then, and do wonders more than we dare ask or think. We ask help for thy servant in the day of tomorrow, when a wedding is to take place. Look on those who hope to be united in holy matrimony. Help thy servant when he may be among us on thy Sabbath day to administer word and sacraments. Lord, give him a rich measure of thy Holy Spirit and bless us undeservedly, forgiving all that is amiss and sinful. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 183, 1, 2, and 4. O Lord, thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. Captivity thou leadest, a captive in thy train. And what follows in 1, 2, and 4 of 183. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.